Hello, ladies. Are you struggling with hair loss? I want you to know you're not alone. Hi, I'm Bambi Staveley, former registered nurse, author, founder of Boost and Blend, and someone who probably just like you has had first-hand experience with hair loss, which is all covered in my latest book, Hair Loss in Women. When I noticed my own hair thinning 15 years ago, I went looking for information and I went looking for products for women, just like you and me. But all I could find out there was products made for men. And most of the information I could find was about male pattern baldness. Well, that's not much help. So I set out to change that. I want to see women with hair loss talking about it and talking to each other, sharing their stories from a place of knowledge. So join me as I meet some courageous women. I'll share some information and we'll learn together on the Hair Loss in Women podcast. Hello, it's me, Bambi, back again with another episode of the Hair Loss in Women podcast. Today, for our Did You Know segment, we're talking about hairbrushing and hairbrushes, something so practical and that we do every day, but I know it can be a source of worry, so I'm going to give you some tips of the best practices for hairbrushing when you have hair loss. But before that, I'd like to introduce you to Lisa. Does she have a hair loss coming out story for you? Lisa actually wore a wig for 14 years and then one day turned up at her work sporting her natural short silver hair. It's a great story of bravery, but also of embracing ourselves and where we're at. But I really hope you enjoy this conversation I had with Lisa. Lisa, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Now, we'll get to the day at your workplace shortly, but first, tell me a little bit about your hair loss. When did you first start to notice that you were losing your hair?
Probably, I'd say 25 years ago, just a gradual thinning, but it was something, because I'm a teacher, it was something that a couple of kids had commented on and a family member had commented on, and so I felt very conscious of it. And so that's when I first looked into alternatives.
And so you wore a wig for many years. Tell me about the decision to do that.
Yeah, well, I think that for me that was the best option and it gave me the look that I wanted. And so I had two little girls, one was two and one was three. And, you know, like I was always, when I did my hair, it was, you know, a big obsession where I was always trying to cover every spot and I was looking at myself from every angle and they would watch me and I didn't want them to think that was normal. So I decided to take that leap and I'd done a lot of research and I'd found this woman and she makes these amazing wigs. And so I transitioned to a temporary wig for probably, well, it was nearly 3 months while they made this wig. And it was just putting that hair on and feeling $1 million, you know, feeling like the way that I wanted. And so I wore variations of that wig for 14 years.
Wow. And how did you find it fit? How was the fit for you and how did you make it fit?
It was perfect. No, it was on a latex base, so it just fitted like a second skin. It wasn't hot. Nobody could tell. Everyone used to comment about how gorgeous, you know, my hair was and how young I looked. That's been the hardest transition.
How fabulous.
Yeah.
And did you do any investigation into why you were losing your hair?
I went to a trichologist and he did some tests, but there was nothing conclusive. And, you know, he had so much hair. That was awful.
Oh, wow.
Would have been better if he was bald.
Yeah.
So I'd had blood tests done, but there was nothing, no reason why. My mum's hardly got any hair, so I knew it was hereditary. So I knew that that was my future. And mum has never done anything about her hair, and I just was not going to go down that path. You know, I was going to be proactive, and I needed to make sure that I felt good about myself.
Wow. And so you wore a wig for a long time then? How long was that?
Yeah, I wore my wig for 14 years and I've been out of my wig for about a year now. And so
while you were wearing the wig, who knew about your hair loss?
Not many people, a family and anyone that I chose to tell, but it was such a shock for people, you know, like I'd have people coming up and asking me who my hairdresser was and, you know, wow. So when I told them that, you know, they were just gobsmacked. But yeah. It was something early on that I could do everything with, but I found that as the years progressed, I would be stopping doing things more and more because of my hair. You know, so we're quite an adventurous traveling family and we were going to the Blue Mountains and there was a caving trip that, you know, I just said, oh, look, I think it's going to be too cold for me. But in reality, it was always about my hair. And so I found that I was missing opportunities. And so that's when I decided that maybe I needed to investigate other avenues.
And so what other avenues came up for you then?
Well, I went to see a skin specialist and he said to me that, I have good hair growth at the back. He said the medications are better now and there's a good chance that I can have a decent head of hair. So that little seed was sown and I thought about it for another year. And in the meantime, you know, I would exclude myself from situations like going to the beach or that sort of thing. And in the end, I made the decision that that was it. I was going to try.
So what was that process like? And I guess there were a couple of steps to all of that.
Well, that was easy. I found this fabulous skin specialist who had an affiliation with a place in Melbourne. So she was... And she was working under a professor in Melbourne and she specialised in hair loss in women. So she was the one that was telling me about the, I call them sprinkles, but but also medication. So I began
taking... They're fibres you're talking about when you say sprinkles.
Yeah. Yes.
They're fibres.
Yeah, they've been fabulous. Yeah, so she was the one that told me about the hair fibres and I started taking the medication, but then, of course, COVID happened. So because of the suction wig, I couldn't grow my hair back because during COVID and before and after, I had to still wear that wig. So I kept taking the medication. I bought some hair fibers and I was just waiting for I had to pick up another temporary wig so that I could transition and grow my hair through that other wig. So yeah, it was a long process and my hair arrived from the States and I couldn't do anything about it because I couldn't leave the house. So it was it was a long time coming.
Wow. So the original wig that you wore for 14 years, you were shaving off your head for that to work?
Yep. So I knew I could grow my hair, but I could see where the gaps were. And it was it was just fine at the front, which is where you need your hair.
Yes, it is. Right. So then you had to transition from no hair underneath a wig to growing your hair back, but also wearing a wig for the time being.
Yeah, and so, but that the whole when you get new hair, new wig, you know, that whole transition because one of those wigs lasts for 3 years. And so by the end of that 3 years, it's looking a bit ratty. So your hair gets shorter and shorter and shorter. And so when the new wig comes, it's longer. So you have to time it for the school holidays in Christmas. So you've got like 6 weeks, so they kind of forget what you look like. And then you come back with this glorious head of hair again. And so I went from having short hair similar to what I've got on my old wig to this new blonde, I hated it, but this temporary wig. And just I was so nervous that first day. Like it wasn't good human hair and it wasn't easy to control. And everyone made a comment about the colour. Oh, my God, look at the colour of your hair. You've had your hair done. And you know, so there was a lot of focus. So that first year back at school, trying to grow my hair was hard. like just the beginning of that. But, you know, everyone settles down and then, you know, it becomes old news.
Yeah, right. And so you wore that wig, that new one. Uh-huh. You wore that new wig over the top of your hair growing back for, what did you say, a year?
No, 6 months.
Oh, 6 months, right. Okay.
Yeah, so by June I'd had enough and I thought I had hair and I had hair fibers and I went to the hairdresser and I said, just give me a good do. And so, yep, she did. And she said to me, because I could put my hair over the top of it if I didn't like it, and she said, it looks fabulous. Go out there tomorrow and go to school and be this you. And so I did.
Wow, you did.
I did.
How did you feel that day?
Oh, so nervous. So nervous because I went from being long and blonde to short and grey. And she just said, just wear big earrings and lipstick and no one will care.
Yeah, and rock it. And did.
Yeah, I did. You know what? No one knew me. not one person recognized me. And so I was on playground duty and none of my kids recognized me. And I would say, good morning, how are you going? And they'd look at me and say, are you Mrs. White? And I'd go, yeah. Yep, but even my friends at work, you know, I had a teacher swap with me for playground duty and she just thought I was a casual teacher. She just dismissed me. I'm going, hi, everyone. And they just went, hi. Not even knowing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you made it through that day.
Yep.
And then where to from there? Did you adapt to it really quickly and easily or did you find it took you a while?
Look, everyone was really supportive, so I knew that I didn't have an issue at school. And I knew that with the hair fibers, I could feel confident because the gaps that I had, I could cover. So I've just gone from strength to strength. And that, you know, like I have moments where I'm nervous and I'm like saying to my kids, can you see anything? Can you see anything? And yeah.
What did you say to people when they realized that it was you?
I just told them my story. I just told them the story that I told you and they could not believe it. They couldn't believe that not I'd fooled them, but that nobody picked up what was going on. And I was such a confident person that, I don't know, just it was a weird thing and nobody's worn a wig like that. And, you know, you see those wigs that are like toupees or they're so obvious. Well, it wasn't like that. It was very nice.
No, you must have had a wonderful wig wigs over the years.
Oh,
good
yes.
Good quality.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah.
And so what's it been like since then? So how long ago was that you...
That was probably June last year and it's been so liberating. I feel so free. And just, you know, I've just come back from Bali. So to not have to worry about swimming or the heat or, yeah, just those little things that you have to think about when you got a wig on. Yeah. But, yeah, I just feel I can be myself. And even though, like, I like that I'm silvery grey, I don't need to colour my hair. I'm so happy and I feel like I look my age maybe.
I guess getting ready in the morning's probably a little quicker, is it, with your own hair?
No, it's harder because I just put my hairy hat on. So right. It's like I just can just walk out the door.
Right.
Yeah, so but it's taken a bit of time to get used to, but I've got a short little cut, so it's very easy and some product and some hair fibre and it's perfect.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. And how do you find the grey hair fibres? So which grey colour are you using?
I'm doing a combination, mostly silky silver grey the light grey.
Okay, so you're combining the two greys together.
Yeah, yeah.
And which order do you put them on in?
I put the darker one on first because my hair is, you know, just lighter at the front there. So that actually goes, if I put the light one on first, it's a bit bluer. Mm-hmm. So, but it sits well on top of the hair too.
Great. I mean, combining colours is a talent. So it's great that you're able to do that.
Yeah. I like that it covers my scalp. So if I can get good coverage on my scalp and I've got an applicator and that works to be around the front. So, yeah, that's been fabulous.
And when you think back to the day you made the decision to transfer from a wig to your own hair, do you ever think that going back over the years you wished you'd done that sooner?
Yeah. I had a friend come up to me yesterday to say, oh, how was Bali? I can't believe how much better would it have been with real hair, because you wouldn't have had any worries. And it's like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It was the best decision, and I do wish that I'd made it earlier. And it is what it is.
It is what it is. Mm. But I guess also while you had the wig, you felt great.
And, I did.
You know, you weren't looking
and
for,
I mean, good.
Apart from... Yeah, you looked fabulous and you felt great. And actually, I have to say, you look fabulous now. You have a beautiful face.
I feel
and
good.
A young face, and I think your happiness shines through as well.
Yes. I'm so happy and I'm so grateful for the product. I just have to keep saying that, because without that, I wouldn't have the confidence. And if I haven't got it in for some reason, I don't go out.
Yeah, well, I'm in that boat too.
Yeah.
And would you be comfortable telling us which medications you're on?
Yep, I'm taking minoxidil, but I'm also combining it with bicalutamide.
And the minoxidil, the tablet or the...
It's a sublingual tablet.
Yep.
So, and all the medication comes from Melbourne, so...
Right. And you're finding any side effects with the tablets at all?
No, I haven't had any at the moment, yeah.
Mm. I know a lot of women talk about getting extra hair growth where they didn't want it, so that's not something that you've had to do.
Oh, look, I wax more often.
Right.
Yeah, I would like it to be on the top of my head, but I've got very good growth around the sides and the back. But I've got more growth than I had before. So I'm nervous to go off the meds just in case that's the...
Well, if you don't have any side effects, and I mean, not that anyone on a podcast can see you, but I can say to describe to everybody that you have a beautiful head of hair.
Yeah.
And you would not know looking at you. You would just wouldn't know. You've got a good lot of fullness, and I think that's great. And it's short.
I'm so happy.
Beautiful short hair.
Shorts, yeah, the easiest way.
I think so, yeah. And so is there anything that you'd like to say to other women who maybe they're at the beginning of their hair loss story, or maybe they're wearing a wig, but is there anything, any advice or anything you'd like to offer?
Look, I often see people in the street with that hair loss, and I want to go up and say, you know, but I know that in that position you're really vulnerable, and the last thing you want to do is draw attention to yourself. I would just say that it's the best thing that I've ever done, and it's an easy solution, it's a cheap solution, and it works, and it gives you the confidence, and that kind of confidence to be able to leave the house without worrying what everyone's thinking. Because even though people say to you, oh, it's fine, you know in yourself that it's not fine, and for me it's a big thing. So it's given me everything. It's given me my freedom.
Well, that's great. I guess you had a different kind of freedom with the wig.
Yep.
And now you have a different kind of freedom without it.
Yeah, well, I feel like me.
Oh, that's really fantastic. And I should probably mention that the medication that you're on is not going to be right for everyone. So, you know, we're not suggesting that everybody should go on anything that you're on, but it's just that I thought it would be interesting for other women who are maybe considering medications to know what other people are taking and how they feel about it. But it's something that everyone should at least perhaps consider at some point, because it does obviously... for some people, it does have a great effect, and it has for you, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, it's been really fascinating talking to you, Lisa, and I've really enjoyed chatting with you today. So I just want to say thank you for being so open and so willing and so so willing to share your story. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Wow, what an incredible story that was. From turning up to work in a long, luscious wig to short grey hair, how incredible. I really felt Lisa was such a great example of how freeing it can be if you embrace what you have and show the world your natural self. And as Lisa so kindly said many times throughout that interview, the product and the solution that she kept referring to was Boost and Blend Cotton Hair Fibres. She mentioned they're such an easy and cheap solution, much cheaper than a wig, of course. So the different kind of freedom Lisa was talking about was the freedom you get from knowing that your hair loss is invisible, which of course you get from Boost and Blend hair fibres. Now, let's turn to today's Did You Know?
Today's Did You Know comes from Leslie, who sent a question in. Leslie asks, I'm wondering what's the best hairbrush to use on my hair every time it needs combing. And she goes on to say, I just use a comb with widely spaced teeth, and my friend said that I should use a bigger brush that is flat with wide teeth. So, do you do one? And if not, can you suggest a good brush and where I might purchase it? So thanks, Leslie. Thank you for the question. It's great to hear from the community, and I like to know what you want to know about. So let's get on to hairbrushes. Look, there is a difference between what you can use when your hair is wet and when it's dry, and the best way to go about brushing or combing your hair throughout the day. So let's talk about wet hair first. I don't recommend using a brush or a fine tooth comb on wet hair. Really, wet hair is so elastic, and it's much more elastic than dry hair. And of course, as you probably have noticed yourself, with elastic wet hair, it can break really easily. So for wet hair, I would say only use a wide tooth comb. And the great thing about a wide tooth comb is they have other uses as well. So I keep a wide tooth comb in the shower for my conditioner. And in the Boost and Blend range, there's one with a hook on it. So it hangs in the shower, which is great because then you can just keep it there. And it's really gentle on your hair, and it's much better than rubbing your hair to put the conditioner in. So comb it through, comb your conditioner all the way through to the ends, but don't forget about your scalp. So use a scalp massager if you have one. If you don't, just massage your scalp with your fingers, because it's really one of the best things you can do for stimulating blood flow to the base of your hair follicles, and it really does help to encourage growth. We do, Boost and Blend really does have a scalp massaging brush, and I suggest that it's great to use in the shower if you can, or for an extra boost with a 10-minute repair mask. That's also really useful to do. But anyway, back to washing. So after you've washed your hair, use a wide tooth comb again, but you don't want to use the one you just had in the shower, so always have a second one to use for combing through your hair after you've washed it while it's wet. The reason you don't want to use the same comb that you used in the shower on your hair after your shower, there's really two reasons. One is that you definitely don't want to end up with any tiny bits of conditioner and put those through your hair when you've just washed it. But secondly, and this is something that I find really impossible to remember, if I keep taking the comb out of my shower to use it later, then I get in the shower next time to wash my hair and put my conditioner on and realize I don't have the comb there. So I always keep one in the shower and one outside the shower. And then for dry hair, you can use a brush. I tend not to. I use a wide tooth comb during the day as well. I tend not to brush my hair during the day. I wear hair fibers, Boost and Blend hair fibers, and I find I don't need to redo my hair. But if I've been out all day and then I'm going out at night, then yes, I will redo my hair. And at that point, I don't use a brush then either. I use a wide tooth comb. But if you do have to brush, be really gentle. Don't stretch and break your hair. Try a wide and soft, gentle brush. Something wide and soft like a boar bristle brush would be great. I actually have a vent brush. And yes, we do have that on our website. It's called a lift and volume vent brush. Now, these are great brushes because they're ideal for lifting your hair when you're blow drying. So if you've got hair loss, one of the problems that we all have is our hair tends to look a bit flat. And if you use a lift and volume vent brush, you can pull your hair gently up off your scalp as you're blow drying it. And the brush has holes in it. So while you lift your hair up off your scalp, the heat from the blow dryer goes through the brush and through those little vents, and it's not too strong of an amount of heat on the compromised hair. Whereas a barrel brush or a round brush that many hairdressers use is really harsh on your hair. And when you use that in combination with a blow dryer, hair dryer, then you really are pushing very hot air onto a compromised hair shaft. So I tend to use the lift and volume vent brush, I actually do think they're better. And then if you need to brush your hair during the day, the lift and volume vent brush is really good for that too. Now, if your hair gets knotty, I was on a cruiser the other day and my hair got extremely knotty. It was really bad actually. So I just did use a friend had a flat soft brush there and I just used that briefly. But a quick tip as well, because I knew I was going to be in a high wind, I was wearing a sun visor and that covered the front of my hair at the top and really prevented too much wind damage to the front where my hair is really thin. So that's just a quick tip. I think it keeps the sun off your face as well, but it's great to stop the front of your hair from getting too blown about in a harsh wind. So to recap, don't use a brush or a fine comb on wet hair. Always use a wide tooth comb. Preferably on dry hair as well, just use a wide tooth comb, why not? Or perhaps use a lift and volume vent brush or a very wide, very soft brush. Leslie, I hope that answers your question about hairbrushes and which ones are the best to use and when to use them.
So that's it for today's episode of the Hair Loss in Women podcast. Of course, as in all of these episodes, the advice given is of a general nature. So please check with your doctor for your specific health advice. I hope you got a lot out of both Lisa's story and learning a little more about hairbrushing. Until next week, remember, kindness is beautiful, so wear it every day. Thanks for joining me on the Hair Loss in Women podcast. And a big thank you to the women who share their stories here and with others in their community. One of the hardest things about hair loss for women is that we don't talk about it. So if you do want to hear more, please subscribe to the podcast. And if you like what you heard, why not leave a review? Positive reviews will help other women to find this podcast too. You can also find out more in my book, Hair Loss in Women. This podcast has been recorded in Sydney, Australia, and is produced by Pod and Pen Productions.